comply with some of the infraction requirements in the bill. So there was going to be some expense involved for the law enforcement agencies and the courts. Now, the bill passed, so that unfunded mandate now exists regardless of whether we do anything with this ordinance or not. As a result of the hearings that went before it, the bill passed in the Assembly by a 38-1 vote. It passed in the Senate by a 20-1 vote. And it was noted during the hearings that some 40 states have implemented similar provisions in those states. So it's been a process going across the country that's been implemented by a lot of states, and it's here before you now. One of the things that happened was that Carson City did a pilot program to see, well, if you don't use the warrant process, what is that going to happen to the fine revenues? And so they stopped issuing warrants. They contracted with a credit collection agency, and they found that the collection agency actually was able to return more fine revenue to the county than they were able to get through the warrant process. And the warrant, and as I said, the warrant process itself is expensive. Now, what this does is it says that under the state statute, many of the minor traffic offenses and parking offenses and some motorcycle offenses and off-road offenses are going to be treated as infractions. And what in Story County, our code provision says that this is code provision 1004020. All traffic acts and violations defined as misdemeanors under NRS chapters 482, 483, 484A, 484B, 484C, etc., are declared to be violations of this chapter unless otherwise prohibited by state law. So all these are not going to be enforced to the county anymore because they're no longer misdemeanors. They're going to be infractions. So that leaves a lot of what our code used to be able to do is out. There is also a provision under the state statutes that says that a county does not have the authority to issue traffic regulations in regards to highways that are maintained by NDOT. And so that means that, for example, we've got 341, 342, and 439 are all maintained by the state, and well as well as C Street. So potentially, you could have would be on C Street as an infraction. If we don't pass this ordinance, it will be a misdemeanor on B Street, which is going to be a little bit inconsistent, but we can leave it that way. So that's kind of what I wanted to bring to your attention as to why it's there and what we're doing. I will tell you that when this was initially proposed, there's some issue regarding whether or not we can leave the existing misdemeanors in place. Because the AB 116 says that we cannot adopt an ordinance that creates a misdemeanor where it's declared to be an infraction under state law. That doesn't necessarily address the question of existing ordinance that are already there. And so there's some question about whether we are required to pass this ordinance or not. Assemblywoman Nguyen did say during the course of her testimony that it was her intention to require that the county ordinances and city ordinances be changed, but that's not really reflected clearly in the bill itself, though there are suggestions that that's the case. So it's an open question in my mind. And I will tell you, so that's basically what I wanted to present. If you have any questions, I'm happy to address them.
Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith?
Keith, a question if I may. So it sounds to me like, based on the information in your presentation, it might be in order for us to hold off making any immediate decisions on this until more information and clarity is on the table. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I know that D.A. Langer has... One of the things that changed was when this first came about, Judge Harrington was of the belief that in order to get the fine monies to the county, we would have to recreate the misdemeanors under the county code to be infractions. But subsequent to that time, there's been some other information that's come from the state that says maybe that's not the case. And so DA Langer is asking that the consideration of the actual adoption of the ordinance be held off for further information.
Well, thank you for that information. I couldn't agree more at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Keith about this?
So first of all, thank you, Keith. That's very helpful to have you lay out some of the issues that are at play here. My only question is just procedural, and that is I believe the item that we're on right now is the public hearing portion of this, and then we have a subsequent item to consider adoption of the ordinance. As I see it, there's not necessarily an action to be taken with the public hearing. If the board decides not to adopt at this time, does it still make sense for us to hold the public hearing? Should we go ahead through that process as is required?
Well,
or is that something we might need to do at a later time as well?
Yeah, we might need to do it at a later time, but I think my purpose in providing the information is just so that you're aware of why that bill was passed and what the impact of if we do pass it might be here in the county.
Okay.
But yeah, I would say that the actual provision authorizing action to adopt the ordinance is the one that we might want to hold off on until we have more information.
Understood. And with that in mind, I'm perfectly fine with the public hearing. I think it makes sense, and I do have some comments or concerns that I'd like to address onto the next agenda item. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Keith. We're going to go to public comment, see if there's any public comment. Is there any public comment about this ordinance, proposed ordinance? All right. Not seeing any. Again, thank you for that, Keith. Move right on to item number 10, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible adoption of Ordinance 22-323, adopting portions of the NRS which are defined as civil infractions, and amending portions of the Story County Code addressing traffic and parking regulations violations as civil infractions rather than misdemeanors. This proposal is in accordance with changes made in the 2021 Nevada legislative session. Assistant DA Loomis.
Yes, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I wanted to advise you of one thing that I have removed the section addressing handicap parking from this the ordinance that's before you now. It was in the when we did the first reading, it was there. It's now not there. And that was I did that because in order to adopt an ordinance, it has to address one subject. And so I've been wrestling with the idea of whether or not handicap parking is within the subject of infractions or not, and ultimately decided that it was not. And so I have removed that. But it's here before you today for possible adoption, and as we've explained, there's some reason to continue this to perhaps gather more information as to the impact of how the fines are going to be turned over to the county or not.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith?
I do not have questions for Keith. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I do not either. Thank you.
All right. I do not at this time either. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion, or do you want to hold off as Keith has suggested?
I have a couple thoughts on this, and I think that I'm leaning towards holding off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a couple of different issues that I have with the proposed adoption of this ordinance, and the first is this is a substantial shift in approach to policing, and that has pretty broad ramifications, both for our law enforcement officers, but also as Deputy DA Loomis mentioned. For the impacts on civil liberties for citizens, because it changes the process if you disagree with the infraction that you're given, and potentially limits your ability to confront your accuser and the court system, which is certainly not always the most efficient way to deal with things, but there's a reason for that, and it's to protect rights. I think one of my biggest concerns is even though the Assemblywoman stated her intention, as I read the bill, that's not necessarily what it says. And there's enough question for me as I think back to the 2021 session, the building was not open. There was a very limited opportunity for direct engagement. And here in Nevada, that is how our legislation becomes better, is the interaction of the legislature with the people, with lobbyists, with interested parties. And so I don't mean to be disagreeable, but I don't feel like we get the best legislation when there's not full engagement. And I feel like I don't feel like going along just to get along, especially considering that we have concerns about the impacts of this particular action. And so given the unknowns, given the kind of the questions that still exist, my preference is for us to is to table this item or continue this item until we can get some more clarity on some of those things. And I think that's where I'm at.
All right. Well, let's go to public comment. Or I already did ask for public comment. I guess we're back here. So if you want to make a motion to postpone it.
Sure. I can certainly do that. I don't know if you have further comment or Lance.
No, you pretty much covered all my concerns.
Okay.
Lance, do you have anything else you want to add at this point?
You know, I don't. I made my position, I believe, clear when I was chatting with Keith. I couldn't agree with Commissioner Mitchell more. I do believe we need to continue this item. Just a side comment. I believe it would be true if we were to research it, but when this type of action took place in Carson City, literally the law enforcement officers just quit writing infractions. And so all of a sudden there wasn't a lot of aggressive traffic control or support. And we're painfully aware of what's happening out on I-80 in the face of this kind of thing. So I agree completely that we need to continue and have a better factual basis before we make any decisions. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. If it's all right, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to continue this item to our next meeting on January 3rd for further discussion and review.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Yeah, that's not our next meeting.
Yeah, you should add a potentially, and Keith is here, of course, is to do a date specific on a motion to continue. Okay. That would be for December 20, 2022.
Yeah, December 20.
Yeah, my apologies. I skipped right ahead into the new year.
Commissioner Clay, do we have time to evolve the information that is necessary by the 20th of December? Or perhaps we could ask Keith if he needs more time to develop this issue.
Yeah, it's Keith Lewis, DA's office. Both DA Langer and Judge Harrington are out of their offices this week at seminars. I think that... I guess really the question is one of, is the state ready to make a clear statement as to what they're going to expect? I don't know.
My recommendation is that we allow ourselves a bit more flexibility and not push it to the 20th, unless that's a requirement, Austin. But I see shoving this issue down the road a bit further.
So... Lance, I would say I agree with you in principle. The only sticky point that I see potentially is that AB 116 goes into effect in theory on January 1st, and our next meeting is on January 3rd. What I would propose is that we continue to our next meeting on the 20th with the understanding that if we don't have the information that we feel we need, we can continue it again. Is that an acceptable course of action?
Yeah, I certainly think it is. Although I think the handwriting's on the wall today that Judge Harrington is out, and so we're not going to really have an opportunity to do much between now and then. But certainly, we can consider it once again on the 20th. I'm fine with that.
All Is that okay?
That works for me.
Okay. So with that, I just want to amend my motion that I made to correct the date from our January 3rd meeting to our December 20th meeting on the continuation of this item.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Keith. Look forward to getting more information. Moving on to item number 11, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of rental agreement with Nova Geotechnical and Inspection Service Northern Nevada LLC, also known as Nova, for the purpose of performing geotechnical, environmental phase 1 and 2 engineering and related due diligence studies, analysis, surveys, and activities on the site of the Gooseberry Mine. It is believed that the evaluation is being done on behalf of Nova's client towards a possible acquisition of the site. The term of the agreement is for 180 days for a rental amount of $1,400.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The title to the Gooseberry Mine site right now is held in trust by the county treasurer. It was for being delinquent in the payment of their taxes. They've been delinquent for a long time. This used to be held by Paris Resources. They declared bankruptcy at about 2009, and that bankruptcy case has been closed. Paris Resources has dissolved and is no longer there. There's another owner that hasn't been able to be located. But when the property is held in trust by the county treasurer, the treasurer, with the approval of the board, is authorized to rent out that site. And so that's what this agreement is proposes to do. It proposes to rent it out to Nova Geotechnical. And this is Mr. Tony Dimple from Nova Geotechnical. The statute that authorizes this also requires that the board specifically approve the rental amount, which in this case is $1,400. Nova Geotechnical is proposing to do the site investigation over a period of about 180 days. So Mr. Dimple is here to answer any questions you have, and I'm here for the same reason.
Thank you, Keith. Is there anything you wanted to sort of talk about before we go to questions?
Tony Dimple, for the record. No, not specifically. I'm here to answer any questions. I think it's a pretty standard thing, complicated by the condition of the property, and you know, it's a private parcel, but we have to do the rental agreement to the county. So I think that's the only unusual thing. But other than that, I'd say it's a pretty standard activity that we're embarking on.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mr. Diplo? Is that right?
Dimple, yeah.
Dimple.
No, sir. I have no questions at this time. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. I don't either. We'll go to public comments. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any public comment. That was quick and painless. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the rental agreement between the Story County Treasurer and Nova for a site evaluation at the location of the Gooseberry Mine, and specifically approve the rental amount of $1,400 and authorize the Story County Treasurer to sign.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks for taking the time to be here, sir. Appreciate it. Moving on to item number 12, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of two mobile reader boards in the amount not to exceed $44,000 that was previously approved in the yearly budget. Two quotes have been received. The lowest bid was for a total of $37,070.00 through Wharton Concrete Forming Supply of Nevada. Director Wersbicki.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wersbicki, for the record. Just as you stated, this is to purchase. Initially, we wanted four, but we're going to do two this year and two hopefully next year to replace the four that we started out with when they were initially purchased under Mike Nevin's leadership. They were grant items, and shortly after receiving them, the company went out of business, so we can't get repair parts for any of them, and they're in real sad shape. So these These two reader boards are Wanco full matrix units, solar powered. They will have any and all capabilities that we could use going into the future, and full warranties locally. So I was just requesting that the approval of the $37,070.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, I didn't cut you off, right?
No.
Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Jason?
I need a reminder on the reader boards. I'm drawing a blank there, and I'd love a bit more detailed information, please.
They're the large message boards to where we can program, like, road work today, you know, in the next few days, or emergency flooded road turnaround, or even for events, road closures for events.
So these are the mobile portable that that give highway announcements based on various subject matter?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions for Jason?
I don't have any questions. I fondly remember when I came into town and the reader board said, caution, zombies ahead. I knew this was a pretty unique place.
I remember that too.
Yes.
I don't have any questions for Jason. Is there any public comment regarding this item? No? All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, make a motion to approve the purchase of two reader boards in the amount not to exceed $44,000.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you getting the horse signs up, too, by the way.
Yep.
On 341. All right. Moving on to item number 13, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of a project to add piping and valves at the hillside tanks to increase our chlorine contact time for finished water treatment per NDEP in the amount not to exceed $130,000 to Resource Development Corporation. The contract is being issued on an emergency basis. Director Wurzbicki.
Same as before. Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wurzbicki for the record. As you stated, this project will be in addition to the Hillside Tank project to increase our treatment compliance with NDEP. This project will add piping and valving to the Hillside Tanks, making the finished water from the filtration plant go directly into the tanks first, and increasing our chlorine contact time instead of having the possibility of bypassing the tanks going directly to system. This addition will satisfy the treatment requirements set forth by NDP. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason about this this project for the tanks?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions either. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask Jason just to expand a little bit on why this is an emergency?
This is an emergency because we had some instances in the past where we were really close on chlorine contact time. When the tanks were initially designed and built, nobody knew at the time that the tanks were needed for the chlorine contact time. So initially the tanks were designed for fire storage. But given that Far West has put in a lot of time and number crunching and stuff, found out that